Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Well, for the moment, we cannot continue our segment on vitamins and mineral supplements because we are having a technical difficulty that prevents us from taking any phone calls or making any phone calls to our guests. This is not, I understand, a problem in the world. So don't worry that there's some systemic, you know, technological attack taking place on New York or something like that. But we're having a problem here that's preventing us from using our phones and some of our other systems. So unfortunately, we've lost our two guests, but we did get to spend a good half hour on the topic of multivitamins and some of the particular ones that people are popularly taking right now. So hopefully we gave you some good information on that. And once our stuff comes back up, you can see it all and hear it all on our website at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. We bring in now WNYC's Elsa Chang, our criminal justice reporter. Hi, Elsa.
Hi there.
Who, as many of you know, has been following and leading the story of the Stop and Frisk program in New York City. It was her reporting indicating that many people on the streets of New York were being asked to empty their pockets by police officers and then arrested after they displayed marijuana that happened to be in their pockets because it was a crime to display it. You know about that. You know that Governor Cuomo, endorsed by Mayor Bloomberg, has said that he's in favor of changing that law so that just displaying a little bit of pot is not even a crime, whether or not a police officer asks you to produce it. And Elsa, what's interesting to me in the last day is that Mayor Bloomberg went to a church in Brooklyn and seemed to do a little bit of a mea culpa with respect to Stop and Frisk, which he has so staunchly defended all along.
It was very interesting what happened. It was probably one of the first moments that Mayor Bloomberg has overtly said, look, stops have to be more considerate, more respectful, more appropriate. However, it wasn't a complete 180 turnaround. Let's remember that last month, Commissioner Kelly wrote this letter to Christine Quinn saying that he was going to basically command executive officers, those are the people who are second in command in every precinct, to more closely review all the stop and frisk reports that come in to make sure that the legality of those stops is really there. Now, critics say if that's the mayor and the commissioner's way of saying we are going to reform stop and frisk, that is not going far enough because you can't assess the legality of stops simply based on paperwork. If you look at a UF-250 on its face, now that's the form that officers fill out after they conduct each and every stop, it's really bare bones. All it shows is the name and address of an officer, and then there's a series of check boxes that an officer checks off giving the justification for a stop. And those phrases for the reasons are things like furtive movements or fits description or high crime area. And all an officer has to do is check off the box that justifies why he did that stop. Critics of the stop and frisk policy says if you look at those checkmark phrases, they give you absolutely no indication of why the officer thought he had reasonable suspicion of criminal activity. And that is a standard you constitutionally need in order to effectuate a legal stop.
And that's in court right now because
exactly.
There is a lawsuit challenging the very constitutionality of the stop and frisk program on the basis that there needs to be suspicion about an individual suspect to a reasonable degree, correct?
Exactly. And federal judge Shira Shinlin of Manhattan, who granted class certification in that lawsuit last month, she looked at a huge data set of stop and frisk reports, these UF-250s, between 2004 and 2009. And tens of thousands of those reports had furtive movements checked off as the only justification for the stop. And she says that in and of itself is facially insufficient to form a constitutional basis for reasonable suspicion of criminal activity. So that's what officers are checking off on their UF-250s now. That is not enough basis to show that the stop was legal. But what critics say is we need an outside court-appointed federal monitor to watch police officers on the street to see how they effectuate each and every stop and then maybe even debrief with them about why a particular stop is proper or not. Other critics say that we actually need to reform the culture within the NYPD on a much deeper level. This is a department that's driven by statistics. It's out to get high numbers of arrests, high numbers of summonses, and for the most part, high numbers of stops to continually convince the public that it's hard on crime. But in order, we need to basically reform incentives for officers to not make as many stops. In other words, you are not a hero just because you make a lot of stops. You are a hero if you actually get criminals off the street. And changing those kinds of incentives, that is not giving officers unofficial perks like, say, overtime they want or cushy job details because they make a lot of stops, is what we need to do. There needs to be an internal cultural transformation.
So when Mayor Bloomberg goes in front of his congregation in, was it Brownsville?
It was Brownsville, Brooklyn, yeah.
Yesterday, and says, I want to take a President Clinton type approach, referring to another old policy that Clinton talked about once upon a time when he was president, mend it, not end it.
Right.
So with respect to stop and frisk, mend it, not end it. Is it clear to you how close to what you were just describing or fixing the problems you were just describing he proposes to come?
It's very unclear. The city is still fighting this class action that's roiling. There's actually three federal class actions that are pending in court right now against the city's stop and frisk policies. And the lawyers for the plaintiffs in the largest class action, the one that Shira Shindlin just certified last month, which contains about hundreds of thousands of class members, those lawyers want an outside court-appointed federal monitor to watch the police conduct their stop and frisk. That is not something that Commissioner Kelly nor Mayor Bloomberg have openly welcome. So mend it, not end it. What does Mayor Bloomberg mean by that? Who knows? Ironically, just as a little side note, that was President Clinton's phrase when he was talking about affirmative action. So it's interesting how Bloomberg has repurposed the phrase.
Absolutely right. And bottom line, Elsa, I guess over the next year, which is going to be the final year of the Bloomberg administration, this is going to become a political issue because lots of people want to be the next mayor of New York City, and they're positioning on the future of the stop and frisk program within whatever parameters the court ultimately allows. That's obviously going to be a big campaign
issue. Absolutely. Every single person that's considered a mayoral candidate has chimed in at some level with criticism of the stop and frisk policies. Christine Quinn, Bill de Blasio, Scott Stringer. John Liu has outright said, let's end all stop and frisk. But let's remember, stop and frisk are technically legal as long as they're done constitutionally.
WNYC criminal justice reporter Elsa Chang, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.